This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Gunslinging, cutthroat, cow-fired game. Shock dog brain, come work for me and sell a crane. Get on a plane, hell, go to Spain. You're not first, another sane. You're gone. Now, we got a new scenario. Rick Ross louder on the stereo. Go get Nick Caserio so Gaines' accent ain't arbitrario. Snatch him from our adversario and dump the Pats dynasty in Lake Ontario. Rip a fifth hole in Belichick's hoodie, yo. I know! Chili pie. No mayo. Pilgrim?
Thank you very much. Rapping Duke with a little track about Brian Gaines' replacement, Nick Caserio. Stanford Rout joining us, one of the fastest cornerbacks to ever do it in the NFL. Seems less and less likely that Caserio is going to be the guy for the Houston Texans. In fact, it seems like the battle over if he does what GMs do and what his title is or isn't in New England, you can actually make a case, John. The more research you do, the more digging you do, the more you hear out of New England, he actually does more than a general manager.
He does. And Stanford, I don't know what the correlation would be with where you've played. But, you know, certain guys are favored sons of the owner or yes. of the head coach mm-hmm. or even of the leaders on the team. This dude is a favored son of Bill Belichick. And he's going to, you know, heaven and earth, move the heavens and the earth to try to keep him. This is something that I know you've dealt with that before. But uh-huh. this could be a severe hit for the Patriots and a huge get for the Texans if he can pull it off.
Yeah, it would definitely be a huge get for the Texans, and I think that's exactly why the New England Patriots are being as stingy as they are, because mm-hmm. they look at it like, hey, you guys have Bill O'Brien, you have Romeo Crennel, mm-hmm. you had Mike Vrabel, so like you're not going to continue to poach people.
Got Easterby.
Yeah, you're not going to continue to poach people from this tree over here. Mm-hmm. So, no, we're going to go ahead. We're going to hang on to Nick Caserio as much as we possibly can. If you wind up getting him, you're going to have to pull it out of our bare hands. But we're definitely not going to hand him over
Cold
to you.
Dead hands.
Now, they let him interview in 2017 with the San Francisco 49ers. But this season, Bill Belichick, with the added responsibility of the defense with Brian Flores leaving and taking on most of the defensive play calling, wants to keep his right-hand man probably more than usual, especially when you consider Tom Brady's not getting any younger, and this could be the last time that, you know, Brady and Belichick go for a Super Bowl. You never know, so they could be a little bit more desperate here. I just want to give you this quote from Bill Belichick, Stanford. Bill Belichick, not a man of many words. Usually when you ask him a question, you get about four or five words, and that's the end of it. This is Bill Belichick asked last year about Nick Caserio and what he means to the organization. This is what Bill Belichick had to say about the man the Texans are trying to pry away from New England. Quote, Nick does a great job, and he has great interaction and understanding of what's going on the coaching side of it. Yeah, so he's involved in the day-to-day coaching part of it. He's certainly involved in all the personnel aspects of this job, college or pro, free agent workouts, waiver, everything. But, you know, all the coaching stuff on top of that, the week-to-week role in the press box and on the practice field, I mean, he does a tremendous amount. I can't think of any other personnel person that would even come close to that. I don't know who it would be. I don't know what everybody else does, but I don't know anybody that does as much for their organization as Nick Caserio does for ours. I mean, that right there speaks volumes.
You hold on to that, dude.
Yeah, you're definitely not.
There aren't very many GMs doing all that stuff either.
No, I agree with you. The one thing I remember back when I was in Kansas City, I remember hearing a quote from Scott Piola, and he said, as a GM, there's going to be five things that come across your desk every day that you did not expect to have to take care of or to have to
address. Oh, that's great. It's true.
So I think for being a general manager, it's such a vague title because you wear a lot of different hats, and there's so many different things within the organization that you actually have control over and that you have final say on. But yes, I love everything that Bill Belichick has said about Nick Caserio, because I think that a lot of GMs have to take on those types of roles, because essentially, if you have a team that's a GM, if you have a team that has a GM, you don't really need a vice president. You'll need a guy for football operations,
right,
because pretty much that's essentially what the GM is.
Speaking of which, what the GM is, before we get to Sean and the toss, you and I were texting, and I know it's a peripheral story, but an important one. Kevin Durant, hurting his seemingly tearing his Achilles after a strained Achilles earlier that was called a calf injury. And to me, it was one of those things that I know you want to talk about. Sometimes you just got to protect the player from himself. Would you agree that this is somewhat on, of course he's going to want to play, but this is somewhat on the management?
I think everybody can learn from this situation. I think that everybody has a little bit of a hand in this situation, because originally, until I talked to both of you guys off air, I was under the assumption that this possibly could have just been a misdiagnosis of the Golden State Warriors training staff saying that it's his calf, when albeit it could have been his Achilles all along. But even with that being said, I think that there's so many people that have so many mixed opinions about Kevin Durant, him being sensitive, him already being 1 foot already out the front door, mm-hmm. him being so gung-ho over proving that, you know what, the Warriors are not a better team without me. I think that, to me, it speaks a lot to how big of a teammate he is and how much that team loves him, with him going out there, gutting it out, doing what he can to try to actually help this team get back into the series like he did on Monday night. And then after he gets hurt, seeing the emotion run through everybody on the team, Bob mm-hmm. Myers, the GM, seeing Iggy and Steph both basically carry him to the locker room, I think that speaks volumes. But to the original question that you asked, J-Lo, I think that, yes, sometimes you do have to protect the player from himself. But mm-hmm. I think in this situation for Kevin Durant, I think that he just was going to be the ultimate teammate. And you know what? If it goes down wrong, it goes down wrong. But we're all going to go down swinging with this ship.
I don't see why we always have to blame somebody for everything. It just seems like, you know, he got hurt. I mean, that's the
– Well, he wanted
to play.
He aggravated an injury already.
But at the end of the day, it's your decision as a player to go out there. Well, we saw Kawhi Leonard sit out a whole season last year, and he was cleared. So
no, I'm with you in theory.
It's your decision. So I don't know why we have to blame anybody.
He wanted
to go out there.
And I agree with what you guys are saying, and that's why I still want to know exactly what was the true diagnosis of the – initial injury, because
right.
if the initial injury was truly a calf strain, then simply rupturing your Achilles, that's just the negative equivalent of winning the lottery.
Yeah.
Because you could go out there right now and rupture your Achilles just getting out of bed, getting out of a chair, just simply just standing on a basketball court, a football field, in shorts and t-shirts. So that's why I really want to know the initial diagnosis of what he had when he injured against the Houston Rockets in Game 5 of the semifinals.
And look, in the big scheme of things, it really doesn't impact him that much.
I'm with you in theory. Sometimes
he's getting the same amount of money regardless.
I've told my kids this. Sometimes things just happen. You don't have to blame someone mm-hmm. every time. So theoretically, I'm with you, Landry. But this was a guy who had an injury on that leg and came back, tried to practice. Someone ultimately made a decision. It could have been him. Could have been him that he played that night. And there was a risk. There was a higher risk there than you know, any other moment
yes.
In the series. So that's what I'm saying. That's Definitely. When you go, wait a minute, did we do the right thing?
And
Sean?
Then,
go ahead.
And then when you factor in what Jalen Rose said on another network a couple of days ago about how he did not have a good workout mm-hmm. pre-game 5 against the Toronto Raptors, that then makes everything set in and resonate just a little bit more with, okay, you know what? Maybe this injury that incurred on Monday night is something that is just a
right.
requisite. I'm sorry, not a requisite, but just a result of the injury against the Houston Rockets in the semifinal round.
It also kind of seemed like, you know, something where, I know this isn't a good mindset, Stanford. I know it's kind of dangerous, but it almost seemed like if he was going to play, he probably shouldn't go 100%. Like, because he started out, he was kind of just a set shooter. He mm-hmm. he hit a couple threes. Mm-hmm. He was doing it. But the one time that they isolated, I know they threw it to him on the block one time.
He started feeling himself.
But he got double teamed very quick and he kicked it out. But the one time that they ISO'd Kevin Durant and he was trying to shake and bake a little bit, that was the first time he did it the whole game.
Yeah.
That's when it ruptured, which
that tells you
goes
he
back
shouldn't
to,
have been out there.
Yeah, that goes back to
that. Tells
you
shouldn't have been out there.
Yeah, that goes back to it, where if you're not ready to play 100%, you're probably not ready to play, especially in the NBA Finals. Sean, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Terrific.
Fantastic.
The one thing about this Durant thing, how much pressure do you think he was feeling to
play? Tons, because he's soft, because he's a diva because he wants to win.
There were media members openly questioning whether or not he was he was being real about this.
That's garbage, but, man. I've never liked a media member questioning anyone being hurt in their injury. That's none of your business,
me neither,
honestly.
But that's why from the very beginning of this conversation, Sean, I said sometimes you just have to protect a guy from himself and take the bullet. You know, Meyer should be out there, said he wanted to play. I said no. You know, I said no.
It was funny, you know, yesterday, because the injury happened on Monday night, right? Mm-hmm. So yesterday we're in here with the TV on, and I forget what show it was. One of the
Seinfeld.
Afternoon. Mm-hmm. No. It was an afternoon sports talk show. No, because our TV in here doesn't change channels. We've had it on AT&T Sportsnet for like 2 weeks now.
Yes.
So it must have been like the Dan Patrick show or something. Mm-hmm. They, you know, one of those sports talk shows that's on TV. It might have been Eisen. I can't remember. But at any rate, they showed like a video montage of all the things that Durant was going through before the game.
Right.
You know, jump shots. Mm-hmm. They showed him dunking before
game.
They showed him doing a lot of very explosive things before the game. And they showed him right before the game in the runway leading down to the locker room.
Dancing. Yes.
Where he's dancing. Yeah. He's going, you know, vertical.
He's like
horizontal. He's like, you know, like he's jumping. His legs are, you know, he's doing split. And then forward. And like really fast, like dancing. And I'm going, obviously, this Achilles was hanging on some sort of thread, right? Like it was going to rupture at some point.
What if it, right?
Can you imagine if he ruptured his Achilles?
Come on.
In the middle of this
conspiracy. Conspiracy.
Oh, my gosh.
Of course it could have happened. The Achilles doesn't know that you're on the court playing basketball. The Achilles is just sitting there going, wow, this is a lot of movement. Yeah. I'm barely hanging on right now.
And I always remind people.
Can you imagine?
Exactly. I always remind people what Doc First used to tell me, the late, great Dr. Kenneth R. First, an orthopedic surgeon. He used to tell me all the time, when a doctor tells you, it's one thing for Sean or Stanford or Landry to say this, but when a doctor tells you it is a strained Achilles, there's no such thing. Medically, a strain is a tiny, tiny tear. It's not big enough to call it a tear. It's just a strain on the ligament, so it's a tear. So his they know this. So his Achilles was already torn a little bit.
Yes.
It's like that paper's got a little crimp in it. Mm-hmm. It just takes a little bit to, you know, to tear the act, to actually tear it all the way. So there is some liability here.
And for me, obviously, is that, and they don't owe the media, they don't owe the fans this, but it's just so damn frustrating because they're cryptic with the diagnosis from the very beginning. It was just, okay, you know, he's got a calf strain. It seems like he's going to be reevaluated next week.
I think it was the Achilles from the start.
Yes, exactly. And so for so long, it was he's going to be reevaluated. He could be day-to-day. He might be coming back for Game 7 if they go to Game 7 against the Rockets. He might be ready for Game 3 or Game 4 against the Trailblazers. He could be ready for Game 2 or Game 3 against the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals. So it just always was seems like it was cryptic. Mm-hmm. You just saw like muddy waters when it came to the diagnosis of the actual injury. And because of that, now then, you're right. You're right. So we sit up there and we watch him damn near crip walking in the run in the hallway leading to the stadium before the game. And as I'm watching the game, I want to see the Golden State Warriors beat the Raptors. I'm just going to tell you that right now. So anytime I see him moving, I'm already kind of wincing and gasping for air. Like, oh my God, is he gonna hurt something else? So you don't know exactly what to be ready for because they never actually came out and said the true injury.
He lit a fire under their butt, though.
Yeah,
he deserves credit for going out there.
And
he scored 7 more points than that Jamoke Willis-Reed. He scored 11. Willis-Reed only scored 4, okay? No,
they were cooking when he was out there.
Yeah, they were
cooking for a while he wasn't out there.
Right.
Really until there was 3 minutes left and Nick Nurse decided to cool his own team. they were cooking
for most of the night.
That is baffling.
That was baffling.
He called that timeout.
He said they were
like
going to lose the timeout, so he had to use them. We'll lose them.
Who cares?
You're up 6 with 2.5 minutes left. Kawhi just scored 10 straight points.
Yeah. Hey, what's your confidence level after hearing Ian Rapoport regarding Nick Caserio?
The same as it was yesterday. I don't think he's coming. I think the longer it goes, the less likely it is that he comes here.
Yeah,
I think it's one of those things that the more you're around your surroundings, first of all, the more he's there, the more FaceTime they're having with him and the Texans
are. He's in their building.
That's just a very basic thing. That is a basic sales principle.
Yes.
They have FaceTime with the decision maker. He's the decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots have all the FaceTime they want with the decision maker. This is a simple sales process, and the Texans are they're not the incumbent. They're not the incumbent vendor.
It's like a free agent. You're not going to let them leave town without a contract.
They're cold calling right now, basically. they're calling the Patriots. Can I speak? Hello there. I feel so bad for the guys that knock on your door. I'd like to speak to Mr. Casario, please.
The guys that knock on your door. Yeah, your neighbor, Mrs. Jones over there. Ain't no Mrs. Jones, first of all, that lives over there. She bought some stuff the other day. That's what the Texans are doing.
That's basically what they're doing. So I'm just the sheer...
Mrs. Jones, huh?
There ain't no Mrs. Jones, but I got that the other day.
Just the sheer mechanics and logistics of the whole thing don't point to the Texans getting him. I do think if they don't get him, like I said yesterday, I think Monty Austin-Fort's going to be the guy. I'm now thinking they went into this with Casario as definitely the number one guy they wanted, but knowing that there were two Patriot guys. Patriots can't block both of them. Mm-hmm. The only reason they can block Casario is because if they can explain away that he's a GM somehow or give him the GM title, well, they can't have two co-GMs. So
right.
I think they're going to – I agree with what Rapoport said. Like he mentioned Austin-Fort. I said it to you guys yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think that guy, if you're putting a big board together right now, to me, he's the favorite largely because I don't think Casario's coming.
My thing is this, though. If you don't have the title, regardless of the responsibility, it just seems like a weird thing because if you don't have the title, then how can you say he's a GM? I know you can say he does GM things, but there's a lot of...
I'm saying that's their argument.
That's the argument. Yeah. I get it. And they might win the argument. But my thing is this. There's a lot of people in the world who have job titles that do way more than their job. But without the title, are you really that?
How about this? Because, look, the Patriots, if they want to keep him, then they have to argue this, right? Landry, I agree with the spirit of what you're saying. Like this, if you're the Texans, you start a debate over this thing. What if it could be that the Patriots realize maybe they don't have a leg to stand on, but maybe they can squeeze a draft pick out of the Texans?
Well then, I think that's ultimately, give him a second.
You give him a second round pick?
I'd give him a second.
They may have 3 thirds next year with the compensatory.
Throwing a third. Second and a third. Yeah, you're talking me up. You want a sixth?
Well,
go ahead and take a sixth.
I wasn't trying to do that. I was just making your point that a second's not so bad.
Let me ask you this, though. I think it's going to come down to this. They're going to argue that.
I'm like Mike D'Antoni.
They're going to say, look, he's even in general manager pictures at the NFL meeting.
I heard you talking about that.
It's true.
If I were the Patriots, I would point that out.
Yes. So that makes
sense. You see this picture?
You know what it is? It's like... it's like what's that when you live together? You're not really married, but you're
cohabitating.
Common law married.
Common law. Common it's like they're common. Law. He's been a common law GM.
No, I have.
Stanford's been funny how you immediately knew that.
Yeah, Stanford's been there. That's a story for an entirely different day.
You were the odds-on favorite to know that before anyone else.
He's at multi common law.
He's a common law general manager, is what they're arguing.
Gotcha.
No, but guys, I think that also just the name general manager. Just listen to it in itself. Is the general of just the managerial options within
getting
the
deep
entire
now.
No,
it's almost like you just lit up and hit the bong or something.
Just hear me out. Because think about it. What can we say is the number one job of the general manager? They have so many different hats they wear within the
Free
organization.
Agency and draft.
Exactly. So then Nick Casario, he's their general manager.
But he's not called that.
And I think they can
but guess what?
Give him the
just
title.
Just because he's not called that does not mean he's not acting
such. That's their argument.
And that's where a lot of the discrepancy is coming in because if you have a guy who's a linebacker, but 90% of the plays that he's out there, he's got his hand in the dirt, he's essentially what?
We saw that with Clowney.
Clowney.
Yeah. Making too much sense. I don't like when you do this, Stan. I don't like when you do this. We're going to have to wait till next Wednesday.
Clowney,
Sean,
Clowney does not like
to?
Your argument.
I know,
he's
I know
like, really?
I thought you were a pro player.
You're saying I'm a
I'm
linebacker.
Always pro player. Come on, guys.
All right, what else?
We've got a busy show today, man. Cecil Short's coming in early today. He's going to be in 2:15 to 3:15 with us. John Harris will drop
kids
by
are out of school.
At 3:35. His son, here's the reason. Cecil may not put this out there, but... His son is playing in an all-star game for baseball.
Nice.
Cecil IV. Yeah, wow, he's a player. Yeah,
I didn't expect him to have athletes.
Yeah, right. His wife's a basketball player and he's an NFL player. Yeah,
did not see that coming.
Nope. John Harris 3:35. Obviously, the latest with respect to the Texans and a whole lot more.
I cannot wait. Big thanks to Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network for hopping on. Big thanks to the king of the common law marriage, Stanford Rout, for hopping on as he does every Wednesday. Tomorrow, I've said Casario's the only scenario. I might have to move on. I'm still going to try to make my case for the Texans, but I might have wondering eyes. We're going to talk to you tomorrow at 10 o'clock as Texans mandatory camp continues and the search for Brian Gaines' replacement continues as well. We'll talk to you at 10. The Triple Threat is next.
And I'll go with the statement again. I stand by the statement that Cal made. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.